Before I get into the sermon, I got a little anecdote. Last night, I was the cats were meowing and meowing and meowing. I have two cats, and Jude, who is their primary caretaker, was off living it up in a sleepover, telling people who they got a crush on. You know, the whole deal. And so I was on cat feeding duty, and wouldn't you know it, when I showed up to pour the cat, no cat food. Now we've got ourselves a problem. There's a 7-Eleven near my house, and I thought about driving, and I was like, come on, Gabe, just walk to 7-Eleven. So I put on a sweater, and I walked out. It's probably 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier than that. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a homelessness issue in Los Angeles. That's a joke. If you're not aware, then God bless you. But on Venice Boulevard, by where I live, there are a number of unhoused people. But, you know, what do I have to fear, Justine? I walk in the way of the Lord. So I put in my headphones, and I was listening to a podcast about something extremely important, and walk in, and I go to 7-Eleven, and there was a guy who asked me for some change. I didn't have any. But I went in and bought something, and then like got a couple bucks, and I was going to give it to him. When I went out, he wasn't there. And I thought, ah, well, what are you going to do? What's up, Bill? Anyhow, but as I was standing in line, there were two young women in front of me, and they were getting, they probably 17 to 19 years old. And they were getting Slurpees and water, and I thought, if I had a Slurpee right now, I would have a tough night to sleep. But they were getting their Slurpees and having a good time. And, you know, I didn't really think anything of it, just two more people in this world of people. But then they left, so then I'm paying. I'm dragging the story on. But as I walk out, I'm walking ahead, and I see there's this man. I don't know if he's unhoused, but he's walking around, and he seems agitated. So my radar is up, and I pause my podcast so that I can hear. And then the man notices the two young girls, and he starts walking to them with a purpose and starts talking to them. And I wasn't sure what he was saying yet. I sped up a little bit to be close. Oh, who am I, Captain America? I'm nobody. But I thought, I can't do nothing. So I sped up just a little bit to be there in case something happened. And he was being so aggressive and saying some very unnice things to these young ladies that they started to cross the street, Venice. It was like all six lanes. And then saw some unhoused people on the other side and thought better of it and doubled back. And now he keeps on following them. So I stopped and was watching. I didn't want to start a physical altercation or be like, halt, citizens arrest. But I did feel like if I did nothing, then that would be then that I would feel bad about it. So I was watching them, and then they started walking backwards towards where I'm at. And I'm on, it's Venice and Bentley, if you know the area. And they're on the east side of Bentley, and he's following them. They start walking back towards my side, the west side, and he's following them, and then they start turning up. He sees me and kind of stops for a second, and then starts telling me all of the terrible things he was saying about them. I don't know if he's trying to get me on their side. And I didn't say anything, but I just stood there. And the girl started walking up, and he started following them. So I started following them again. And fortunately, they ended up walking in, and they went into some apartment complex. I don't know if that was there where they lived, or they just went there for safety. And he kind of, you know, said something terrible to them and started walking away. And after I felt like everything was safe, that I could go back to the Bat Cave, and as I was walking back to my house, I kind of sat down, and I was getting back in, and I didn't really realize how kind of tense that I was, prepared for violence. And how it had kind of affected not only how I was feeling emotionally, but how my body was feeling. Like I was like still, even after he was gone, like I was ill at ease. And I thought to myself, the first thought was, it is so terrible that people live in a world where these kinds of things happen, and even worse things. But then a thought that followed after that was how grateful I was for my own life, that I've been able to find a little bit more peace, and that I don't live in that world. I still exist, but that my life is free of that kind of pain and anger. This young man, one of the reasons I was so brave was that he was pretty small. I thought, if push comes to shove, I got you, brother. Like, I just got you. Like, unless you have a gun, in which case you got me. But if it's just hands, I'm afraid I win this one. But that man existed in a world where life would just be so sad. It's tragic. That was a rare occurrence for me, and hopefully it was a rare occurrence for those young girls. But I don't think it was a rare occurrence for this young man, because he's all caught up in this nonsense that the enemy wants us to feel like we got to do stuff to get happy, right? What I believe happened is that he started talking to those girls thinking that he was going to make some moves, right? That he was going to charm them in Venice, at Venice Boulevard at 10:30 at night. And that when they were like, no thank you, get lost, that his ego was so damaged that he just like couldn't let it go. You know what I'm saying? Because what he was saying to me about them was very unkind, and why would he have these unkind words to say about these people if not for some kind of, anyhow. Be grateful and be aware of the thoughts that come to your mind. Because we may not be as wrapped up as that young man is, but we still have some unwrapping to do of our own. I don't go around harassing young women. So I have freedom in that way. But I have other things that keep me from the whole living that I want to do. Does that make sense? I got to find the loose, frayed edge of the blindfold, and I got to start taking it off. Because that young man didn't think that he's the bad guy in that scenario. Probably went home and told his friends, you'll never believe it, I just went up and was kindly asking these ladies, and they were so rude. Because he's completely unaware of the actual events, of the truth of the situation. How many times in our own lives have we been the bad guy? How many times in our own lives have we been the author of our own unhappiness? But then we write a script for ourselves saying that, oh no, I was the good guy, they were being unreasonable. I could tell you 100 million examples of where I was wrong. Tell you probably 5 or 6 where I was right. But that number's increasing. So today, I'd like to talk about kind of integrity and listening to the counsel of the Lord. And we're going to turn to John chapter 5, those of you who want to. John chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus heals the man who's paralyzed, or can't walk at least. And they're at a bath. And Jewish people of the time, washing and cleaning was part of the culture, right? So there were ways you had to wash your dishes and your hands. And you know, for most people back in the day, life was just kind of dirty. There's no toilets. There's no shower, Right? So the just walking around dirty and greasy was how most people existed. And so the Jewish people had this idea of, like, we are clean and they are unclean, and part of that cleanliness was ritual, actual physical bathing. And there's this bath that this man is sitting next to. And the Bible tells us that from time to time the water would be stirred up. And that if and when you went into the water while it was stirred up, then whatever ailments that you had would be healed. But of course he can't get in because he's paralyzed. He can't walk. And when this does happen, everybody's trying to get in. Jesus comes in and sees the man who cannot walk, and because he has power in a way that other people do not, he tells the man to get his mat and walk and leave. A good deed. However, the Pharisees, who are already threatened by his preaching and by the man that he is, have been looking for a way to get him. And so they accuse him of sinning because he's working on the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, you have the Ten Commandments, but there's many more, and there are rules. And one of the rules for the Jewish people was that you shall do no work on the Sabbath. That comes from a very benevolent, kind message the Lord is trying to tell us. It's good to work, you got to take care of yourself. It's good to be productive and be part of society, but you do also need to spend time to pray and to enjoy yourself. The world is created for us to be happy in. So take a day off and enjoy yourselves. But this good word of the Lord is twisted through the words of the enemy and the minds of unaware men and women into, you don't work on the Sabbath, and if you do, we'll kill you. A good thing turned bad. That makes sense. It's similarly when Jesus says, spread the gospel. And so Charlemagne, the Christian king, after he conquers the heretics, everybody who converts to Christianity is all right, cool, man, you're part of the kingdom. If you don't, we cut your head off right now. Right? So the good intention of spreading the goodness of the Lord enters into the mind of a human who's lacking in awareness and freedom, comes out with a negative feeling. That makes sense? In my mind, that's the whole reason, the whole gospel is that human beings are on our own paths, but we get all tangled up. We get all tangled up about what's the right thing to do, how is the right way to behave. And so in our confusion, we behave in a way that brings ourselves and other people pain. And we're stuck. We're lost in it. We're covered up. We're plugged up. We can't hear. We can't see. We're just stumbling around because we don't know how to act. Whether it's the young man harassing those poor girls or the person giving the finger to the person in the freeway, or the Christian people outside of a gay pride parade saying that they're all confused. They're confused. All of them believe they're doing the right thing, but they're confused because they're lacking the awareness that only the Holy Spirit can provide. So when you're driving down the traffic and somebody pulls out in front of you, how dare you? Don't you know I've got places to be? Well, the other person says, why is this person honking and yelling at me? Don't they know I have places to be? And we all grind our teeth and shake our fist at each other. Lost, hopeless, until Jesus says, it's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send you a helper. And I'll help you. He will lead you into all the truth. The truth about whether it's okay to do this or that. The truth about how you should live your life. The truth about how to be a parent. About how to be an employee. About how to be a father. About how to be a husband. About how to be all of those things that you are blind and deaf to, I'm going to help you out. So, John chapter 5, 16, he's just healed the man. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working, presently getting things done. I myself am working, I'm praying right now, working on myself. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." Jesus only does the things he sees the Father doing. And he will teach us how to do these things, if we're willing to work. The Father is doing good deeds. And so Jesus, seeing that, does good deeds. And he sends us the helper so that we can do good deeds. Not for him or for them, because that's the nature of how to live. That's the nature of how to behave. I got this so twisted in my life for years. I thought that the doing of good deeds was so that I would be a good person. The doing of good deeds is so that I will live in happiness. Giving to a homeless person isn't about them. It's about me. I'm caring. I'm the one. We just give ourselves excuses not to do the thing we know to do. We post things on Instagram, "Be the change you want to see in the world," and then everybody rolls their eyes and gives themselves the excuse to continue being a jerk. And they don't understand. They're playing themselves. "Be the change you want to see in the world." No, thank you, dude. I'm going to continue being a selfish jerk. Continue enjoying being unhappy. You don't get it, Gabe. You never did. You don't love the Lord for him. You love him for yourself. Peel off a little bit. Love your enemy. Not for them. They're probably still going to dislike you. But if you can love them, then there's no obstruction to your happiness. If you can do the thing that is difficult, you will get the rewards. "So that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Right now, we can have eternal life. Right here. There's no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. So your fears of the future are unfounded. And your regrets of yesterday are nothing more than the pain you inflict upon yourself. Here and now is the eternal life. Everyone who honors the Father, who believes the Son. Jesus says, "Love your enemy." Yeah, but you let yourself off the hook, and then you continue to stumble around blindly. "I've come so that you might have life and have it abundantly." The young man wandering the streets at night, trying to hit on poor women, does not have abundant life. He's living in pain constantly, and he's hoping that he can get drunk enough or he can convince somebody to spend time with him so that he gets a small amount of relief from the hell that he lives in. You're not being good for me, dude. You're being good for yourself. I listen to the Lord not so that everybody goes, "Nice work, Gabe." I listen to the Lord so that I live in peace. So that when I see something like that, instead of spending the rest of the night thinking, "You know what I should have done? You know what I should have done? I should have done like a jumping high kick," and then everybody would be like, "Yeah, dude, you're so cool." The Lord reveals to me, I was trying to do a good thing. The bad thing didn't happen. And then the Lord reveals to me, let it go. As long as I was thinking about the injustice of it all, as long as I was thinking about this man and how dare he and all the misery and all the pain, I was robbing myself of the life that I could have that time, right now. And as soon as I was able to hear the voice, Jesus says, let it go, Gabe. I hear his voice, I believe him, I let it go, and I get my life back. I feed the cats, they're cute, and I go about my life in peace. Only in as much as I am willing to do it. Be aware of not only when the Lord is trying to speak to you, but when you are not listening. I have a friend who goes on, he's a work friend, and he's very religious, but he's one of those guys who calls himself, "I'm spiritual, not religious." Like, cool, man. Like, whatever you, yeah, find your way, dude. I'm trying to find mine. And he takes hallucinogenics to go on these journeys. Now, I love the Beatles, and I don't want to disparage, but I do wonder from time to time how much of his spiritual journey is justifying the drug use that he wants. I don't know that. Only he knows that. So I'm not going to tell him what to do. But that I use that as maybe an obvious example for things we do in our own life. Things that the Lord has been calling us to stop doing. But we don't want to, because we feel like we like them. So, as a young man, I learned many bad habits, and one of them was swearing. My dad used to, my brother got grounded for 2 weeks for saying the SH word. It wasn't shoot, it was the other one, Steve. My parents were very firm about teaching us that, you know, it's not what goes into a man's mouth, but what comes out of him that defiles him. But in my youthful arrogance, and I played basketball, everybody else was swearing. And I didn't want to be the only kid who said, "Oh, shoot. Oh, darn." Because if I did that, they would have made fun of me. "Justina, come on. I'm only flesh and bone. Can you imagine having to endure the mockery of young children? I couldn't do it." So I started also cursing. And then they were like, "Dude, you're so cool." And I was like, "Yes." I didn't realize how pervasive it was until I tried to stop. And the Lord was calling me, saying, like, "Gabe, if you want to be a representative of the Lord and the kingdom of heaven, you can't use the F word." "Ah, it's only words," I said to myself. You understand? The issue is not whether or not it's okay for you to do it. You have got to figure that out for yourself. It's whether or not I'm willing to listen and believe him. "Gabe, you drink too much coffee." "Eh, that's probably not him. I need coffee. Dude, I work a lot, Lord." Only through listening to the counsel, believing and moving forward, does my peace become more apparent. Only does, by listening and following, does my life increase. When I am able, I do feel peace and love that is non-dependent on my exterior circumstances. You understand? I have a friend who lives in a mansion, and they have a great paying job. And not only does that job pay really well, but it's a respectable job. So people, like, you know, give them the honor that they deserve, because you got to work hard to get that job. So they got the house, they got the money, they got the respect, they got the family, they got the vacations, every single thing that everyone on the outside says, that's what you need to be happy. And because they are struggling with listening to the Father, they are unhappy. You understand? It's not about those things. It's about these things. I can be unhappy at work, or I can be happy at work. Sometimes during the summer, I get 3 months off where, like, I don't teach. I still work at Trader Joe's, but I get a lot of time on my hands. And to everybody else, they would think, like, that's the dream, man. You're getting paid to chill at the house. But I find that my most unhappy moments are often during the summer, because my circumstances are not what dictate my happiness and peace. It's my own commitment to myself. That integrity that when nobody else is watching, it's easy to be good up here. But when the kids are asleep, when I'm by myself, and the Lord tells me something, and then I convince myself that it was something else, right? Okay, maybe you should do this a little bit differently. Obviously, it's not like voices talking. I'm not suffering from hearing voices. It's a feeling that I get. A thought occurs. You know what, Gabe? You really have been, like, sloppy about your eating. That may have no relevance to you, but it does have relevance to me. And I know that I'm supposed to do it. I know it because Jesus says, I'll put my law on your heart and my word on your mind. And so you'll know it's the Lord by the feeling you get. In that moment, if you are able to say, okay, even if it's scary, even if it's a thing you think you don't want to do, follow it. Because if it's not true, then the Lord will reveal it to you. One of the things I respected about my father so much is his willingness to do that. I desperately hope that I never feel like I have to go on a fast for 40 days. I would have a real tough time with that. But Dad would be like, Gaby, I'm giving up watching the Lakers. Is it because they're awful again, Dad? Nope, that has nothing to do with it. I believe the Lord is telling me I'm spending too much time watching TV and focusing on the Lakers, and I need to use that time productively towards following the Lord. Everybody else may say, what are you talking about? But he followed it. And because he did, he lived a life with peace and happiness in it. And even people who disagreed with him fervently respected the man that he was. Not perfect. Not perfect. But a disciple of the Lord. The Father gave all things to the Son. The Son gives things to us. And if we are able to believe him, then we will get all of it. Money is not bad. Big houses are not bad. My friend who has a mansion, it's not the mansion that's making her unhappy. And if she's able to click it in her mind and be able to follow it forward, then she will not only enjoy the peace, but also the mansion. They're trying to rush to get here, Amelia. They turn on the sirens. I got to get. I'll close with this. In history, and I don't know if you guys know about, like, conspiracy theories, there's something called a proportionality bias. So the bigger the event, the bigger the explanation has to be for that event. that's one of the reasons, and I don't want to step on any toes, but the JFK assassination, the reason that has so many different conspiracy theories is because of what a big event it was, right? When Ronald Reagan was shot, nobody was like, dude, it's the Illuminati and they got the Cuban communists to get the mafia and the... Nobody thought that because it didn't work out. Now, I'm not saying that the mafia and the Cuban communists didn't kill JFK. You got to figure that out for yourself. But big events need big explanations. So big things in your life are often rationalized away because you believe they're too big to change. So somebody who's suffering from depression, and you say to them, don't be depressed. It's a real quick way to get punched in the face. I don't know the cure exactly. But just giving up and saying, I'm just depressed, leaves you right where you're at. Blind and deaf. What thing is holding you back? What things are holding you back? The Lord says, Gabe, you really should spend your money more wisely. And then I buy the iPhone 14. Yes, but Lord, I need it to, you know, look at stuff. I didn't want to save money because I like spending money. So the Lord witnesses to me and is trying to peel off that layer. Not because it's about the iPhone, but because I don't think about money correctly. I go to the DMV and they say, you owe us $1,500. And I say, dang it. And then I live in that stress. Peeling away. If I could think about money in a different way, then I would be able to enjoy the peace that comes with having money in the bank. It's not the phone, it's not the money, it's me. And as soon as I'm able to realize that and tear off the blindfold, then I live so much more fulfilled. And that may be an easy thing for you to do, but for me, let me tell you, it is hard. Because when everybody else is gone, and I'm looking at the thing that I want, there's nobody there except for the Lord. And if he says, you shouldn't buy that, that's probably not him. That's probably, I need a phone. My phone's old, so. You understand? The things that I got to work on may not be the things you got to work on. But you have your own things. Work at them, and your life will grow exponentially better. Not in the way that you may think. When I talk to my students and I say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Very few of them say happy and peace of mind. They say, I want to drive a Lambo, a Bugatti, I want a mansion with a butler, right? Because they've been lied to. That's happiness. That's what you want. And then when they grow up, if they don't have that, then they feel, I'm a loser, I didn't get it, I suck. But even when they do, they often still feel those things because it's not the Bugatti. You can drive a Bugatti and be happy, but you can also drive a 2008 Subaru Impreza and be just as happy, I imagine. I know this for a fact. My life and my happiness grow. They grow. They grow and they grow and they grow. From the outside looking in, a cynic may look and say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? But that's because they're not listening. The Holy Spirit witnesses to me. And when it does, I do my best to listen. And when I'm able to, I move into life and peace and happiness. Every Friday we have a chapel at my school, and it's been very difficult for me because many of the things they believe are difficult for me. And I lived for 10 years coming to the chapel and being resentful and self-righteous, blinded, thinking I'm right and they're wrong. How could they be so wrong when I'm so right? Why can't they be more like me? Takes it off. It's not them, Gabriel. It's you. It's always been you. And when I'm able to do that, there is peace that passeth the understanding that I had before. I thought to myself, how on earth could I ever be happy in this place? With the wrongness. They're so wrong. And I'm so very right. How on earth could I ever? What a big thing to have to change. No. I change. I love them. I love them. I love them. Because the person who brings me happiness says, love them. Last night, I was not loving to that young man. So I stepped out of life. Fortunately, I've been working, so I stepped back in. Right now, I'm in it. I can feel it. I feel good. I feel at ease. I used to fear speaking publicly. I may go home and see something or hear something that brings me out of it. Maybe I'll drive home and somebody will cut me off. And I'll think, oh my God, how could they? And if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, then I'll continue driving. But if I'm able to, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. When I'm driving and that person cuts me off and I think about how wrong they are, in that moment, if I can hear him and believe him, to hear him is one thing, to believe him is the next. To hear him saying, Gabe, you can't be angry about this. You have to love him. I can hear that and then still be angry. It's very easy for me to do that. But if I can hear him and then say, you're right, Lord. Then I step back into it and continue driving on my merry way. 2008 Subaru Impreza all day long. And I can do that in every aspect at all of my jobs and my house. If I quit my jobs and I had more time, would then I be happy? If I won the lottery and had more money, would then I be happy? If I go on farmersonly.com and find a lovely lady and we get married, will I then be happy? First, I'm happy. And then I go on Farmers Only. I'm just joking. You know what I'm talking about. Here it is right now. Believe him. Believe him. Believe him. Believe him. For your own good. I sat right back there for 40 years and thought to myself, I don't hear anything because I didn't want to hear anything. Because the Lord was saying, you shouldn't do all of these terrible things you're doing. But I thought to myself, but I like these terrible things because I didn't understand. But now I've gained a little understanding. As a child, I acted like a child. I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. But now I'm a man. And I put those things aside. What is it that you need to make you happy? What is it that you need to put away? Because I'm telling you, man, it's good. So good. So good. And when I get it, I'm just like, I want to have, I want to be like Oprah, and you get a car, and you get a car. When I'm in that moment, and those moments are coming more frequently, they're still very short, but they're coming more frequently, and I love it. I love it because I'm made to love it. I'm programmed to love it by Him who created me. My siblings went to Hawaii. In the past, I might have been like, they get to go to Hawaii, and I... But I've been freed. I've been freed of it. Because I love them. I want them to be happy. I'm going to say aloha, the one that means goodbye. And then aloha, the one that means hello when they come back. And I'm going to love them. And my life will be just as happy as if I had gone or stayed. And maybe one day I'll learn to spend my money a little more wisely, and then maybe I'll go. And then somebody else will come up here and put everybody to sleep. Be blessed this week in your jobs, in your finances, in your family, in your health, in your mind. Be blessed. And remember, first you work on you, and everything else comes. Bow your head and close your eyes. We'll close in prayer. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. For so many years, I've wandered around. Thank you for your faithfulness. Help us this week, Lord. Help us to be able to sift out all of the other nonsense and to hear your words. And when we hear it, help us, Lord, to act on us. Give us courage, Lord. Courage and wisdom. Discernment. Bless us this week. Give us the peace. Help us to take the love and peace and happiness every moment of every day. In your name I pray. Amen.